Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Hey, thanks for joining us for this episode of Weird.
You know what I'm doing over here?
Being weird?
Yeah.
It's perfect. This is episode 81, if you're counting, Craig.
Actually, thank you. I was having a seizure and you did nothing to help me.
You know what? I didn't print this.
You still don't care.
I don't. Your seizure, you're over it.
Yeah, you're right. I got better.
I heard a story this week that I didn't print out, and it just dawned on me on my way to work.
It dawned on the way to work?
On the way to the studio, right, to work today, right now, that there's a service offered in Japan where...
Stop.
Where you can hire, let's say you want to impress a girl, and I know you do, you always have. You can hire this group of people to attack y'all while you're at a theme park.
To make you look like a hero.
And you beat them up. They let you win. And they'll attack, like, if you're in a group, they'll attack more...
Why
just
did you randomly bring this up?
It just dawned on me. We are missing, because I could get beat up.
<That's>, no doubt.
So we could service weird and go out and attack people and get beat up for money. So let's talk about Don't Wake the Kids, shall we?
Okay. Do I have to talk about Randall?
Yeah.
Can we talk about the squirrel?
Randall is so interesting. Not only because he has a pet squirrel, Maybelle, that runs around and scratches his arms.
But he can also levitate.
I didn't know that about him.
Yes.
I didn't know that. He's even more interesting.
He can only levitate when no one's watching.
But his pod is, I just made a faux pas.
Is that what the cool people say?
No, it's not. Pod. His podcast is entertaining in every sense of the word. You made a faux pod. Yes, I did. If you want to say it that way, go ahead. But Randall, who is a good friend of the show, a good buddy of ours, his podcast makes me laugh. I'll say that. And I listen to every episode and I enjoy every episode.
Not family friendly.
Not so to speak.
Randall.
Yeah.
No offense. I'm saying that for our listeners.
That's right. Because we're a family friendly show.
Right. And we don't want to. Yeah, that wasn't a judgment. I want them to know.
Right. He'll drop a cuss word every once in a while, but it's not like filth, flarm,
yeah,
filth.
Yeah. Mr. Squirrel loving potty mouth. How about it?
Anyway, thanks, Randall, for bringing us a fun show. Thanks for being part of the Ace Podcast.
Yeah, I just wanted people to know that we weren't saying, hey, gather the kids around.
You're preaching to the choir, man.
You don't sing.
I understand.
Thank goodness you don't sing.
I'm taking the top story whether you like it or not. Texas man drunk texted officers 911 report bar Batangas.
What is happening in this headline?
That was terrible. Texas man drunk texted officers, comma, 911 to report they overserved him.
Why was 911 even in there?
Because he texted drunk Texas man. You can't even come up. No, maybe
Texas
they had
man
time.
Drunk texted officers
and 911. So he's bothering both. He's harassing both services.
That serves an abuse of the comma.
Woo! I'm ready for the show to be over now. A Granbury, Texas man on Monday was arrested after sending 911 dozens of texts. I didn't know you could text 911. That makes sense, though.
I don't know if you can.
Never thought
not.
About it. To report being overserved and overcharged at a bar. Sean Taylor, old man Taylor's boy, age 46, reportedly began texting and sending harassing messages to 911 dispatchers around 8 p.m. that night. He's accused of sending roughly 35 texts. That's a lot of text to operators and tying them up for hours. He also contacted the Hood County Sheriff's Office to complain about the bar because they were over-serving him and overcharging him. There's nothing more amusing than a justice-seeking drunk, Lieutenant Johnny Rose told DFW-CBS.
We got to get shirts made that say justice drink. Justice. I'm drunk now, trying to say.
justice-seeking.
Goodness. I'm leaving.
Don't go.
Justice-seeking drunk. You need a shirt that says that.
The moral of the story, according to the police, is don't text and drink alcohol. Now it's an issue. You're going to have designated texters.
Yes.
Have a designated cell phone holder.
What if we have a device that checks your blood level before it allows you to use the text?
Well, that would be bad because you may be in a car wreck from drunk driving. You can't tell anybody.
They'll find you.
Yeah, we got a story about that coming up, by the way.
Oh, why do I get the rat stories?
Because you love rats so much.
Dine with rats at San Francisco's upcoming pop-up rat cafe.
Yuck.
If your dream is to dine in a darkened cafe surrounded by
that's not a dream.
Domesticated rats.
That's a nightmare.
That you can interact with, then San Francisco has quite the opportunity for you.
I'm telling you, this is going to be a failure with a capital F.
Tourist attraction, in quotes, the San Francisco Dungeon is hosting a two-day-only pop-up cafe set up for those who want to enjoy a delightful morning with everyone's favorite, again, domesticated, rodents.
No way.
For $49.99, patrons can sip their coffee while seated at a bistro-style table nicely draped with red and white gingham tablecloths, all while being surrounded by rats.
I've been in restaurants surrounded by some rats before, but they were human.
Yes. The price includes all-you-can-drink coffee, tea, water, and pastries, along with admission to the dungeon. Don't forget the 15 minutes of rat interaction.
$50 for coffee, tea, water.
Well, that's just two Starbucks.
Or pastries.
Anywho, if the idea sounds more like nightmare fuel.
It does.
Like I would suspect it does for a large portion of people, that's understandable. Drinking coffee while a rat is on the loose, that's not for the faint of heart. A statement from Dungeon spokesman acknowledge it. No, actually, I want to say that again because I'm a different way. Drinking coffee while a rat's on the loose, it's not for the faint of heart.
That sounded much better.
From the Dungeon spokesman acknowledges. For those worried about pesky food safety and hygiene codes, Eater San Francisco confirmed that the Dungeon will follow all food service rules.
I'm pretty sure there's a rule about rats in restaurants.
Pretty sure. And that food will be cleared out before the rats are allowed into the cafe.
Oh, there's so much wrong with this story. First of all, I couldn't...
come over.
I couldn't get through Ratatouille. I couldn't get through Ratatouille because this rat was in the kitchen. Second of all, he was a really good cook. The headline says you can dine with rats. You can't. They got to take the food away before the rats come out. $50.
Rats are really smart.
Are they?
They'll probably bring some food in their pockets. Well. In their wee little mouths.
Headline is Pizza Hut supervisor pepper sprays employee after argument.
Video where it didn't happen.
Okay, I'll see what I can find. After an argument sparked by how pepperoni and cheese were placed on a Pizza Hut supervisor pepper sprayed a coworker, according to the police report. She's saying you do it my way or you get this in hot eyes. You get hot eyes, Craig. Sandy Springs.
Hot eyes. They're watching you.
Sandy Springs police have issued a warrant for the arrest of Anderson Ramon Lewis for disorderly conduct.
I should clap on this side.
That sounds much better.
That was much better.
The pepper spray was discharged in the direction of the female victim's face. In other words, he sprayed her in the face with pepper spray.
No, that's what the instructions say, right?
Yeah. According to the report, police responded to the Pizza Hut on Tuesday around 7 p.m. Witnesses told police that two employees had had a verbal altercation that ended with Lewis using pepper spray. Police said witnesses told them Lewis initially confronted the victim about the placement of the pizza ingredients before telling her that she needed to go home or get fired.
I
wonder who got that pizza, and they said, we didn't order.
You know the drill.
We didn't order jalapenos. She responded by telling Lewis that he wasn't her manager, but I thought he was. You ain't my manager, mister.
You just gave me an idea.
What?
We need an edible version of pepper spray that's got like jalapeno flavor or something.
Jalapeno business.
And you spray it on your pizza as a topping.
That'd be good.
Or popcorn.
Witnesses, including the general manager of the Pizza Hut, told police that Lewis started threatening her husband and talking about the victim's brother who died 2 weeks prior.
Oh, no.
Now, she needed to be pepper sprayed in the face. You and I have both worked in pizza restaurants.
Quit telling people we've worked all these places.
But there is a way you put pepperoni on a pizza. You don't just throw it on there.
I do.
You're not supposed to. Maybe you need some pepper
spray. Actually, I delivered pizza. I didn't make them. There's probably a reason for that.
That's when Lewis just discharged the pepper spray at the victim and in front of the general manager and other employees, police said. Have you ever been in an area where pepper spray has been sprayed?
I know it's...
Oh, it's hard.
It's in the air.
I've been in a room shortly after some pepper spray was accidentally sprayed.
I don't want to know how you ended up in that situation.
It was a Sunday school room, too. We had to clear out instantly.
Yeah, it gets in the air, and it's bad.
That's when Lewis discharged the pepper spray, as I said. Lewis also threw trays of pizza and dough on the floor as he was leaving. The responding officer attempted to call Lewis shortly after the incident. A male answered the phone and said, "Don't call me again," and then blocked the number.
Hi, is this Lewis? Yes.
This is the police.
Excuse me, this is the police.
If you got a spicy pizza and you didn't order like peppers on it, chances are there's been some pepper spray around the area. I'm just saying.
Possibly. House squatter answers door naked, wrestles with deputies.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the end of the story.
That's enough.
Big Pine Key, Florida. Hey, that's a great name.
That is. I want to visit
Pine
there.
Key, Florida. Authorities say a Louisiana woman living illegally in a vacant home in Florida answered the door naked when a sheriff's deputy stopped by to investigate.
Goodness.
Monroe County Sheriff's spokeswoman Becky Heron says a real estate agent called to report that someone was staying at the home on Big Pine Key without the owner's permission. Deputy Richard Wang looked in the window and saw a 36-year-old female, who I will not try to pronounce her name. We'll call her Miss Farrington. He saw her naked. He would arrest someone else for doing that.
Absolutely. Peeping Tom, peeping Pom.
Peeping Richard Wang. Monroe County Sheriff spokeswoman Becky Heron says a real estate agent called to report that someone was staying at the home on Big Pine Key without the owner's permission.
You know, squatting puzzles me. There's laws protecting.
Takes a lot of balance.
There's all kinds of. Anyway, go ahead. But I just want you to know, I don't understand the squatting thing.
You crouch down.
You and I could have any empty house we wanted if we just go stay there.
Nobody said it was legal.
No, it is legal. The squatters have rights.
Squatters' rights.
That's right.
That's what they call it. So anyway, Peeping Richard.
Exactly.
He knocked at the door and she answered, still naked. Farrington refused to get dressed, and investigators said she fought with him as he tried to take her into custody. The struggle continued when other deputies arrived.
So she thought, being naked, he wouldn't take her out of the house. That's what she's thinking. He's not going to take me out looking like this.
Well, she didn't care.
Maybe not.
Farrington is from Harvey, Louisiana. She's been charged with trespassing, battery. What, battery's illegal now?
You can't have a battery?
You can't have a battery now.
You won't be able to drive.
Battery on a law enforcement officer.
She put a battery
on. He said, knock this off.
Middle-aged dudes everywhere will get that one.
Hey, I'm just curious.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm looking at these stories that you sent me.
Yes.
And every one of them looks like there was a focus adjustment that I should have had. They're all
really?
Like blurry.
Are they?
Did you copy like images and send them to me?
I did not.
Because I don't know what you did. You did it wrong.
You think maybe it could be your printer?
No, my printer is top notch.
Let's see how mine printed, shall we? I've been using a screen, but I'm going to pull the paper out.
Nobody can see it. This is a podcast. Here we go, people. Okay, listeners, you tell me which ones look better.
Feel free to use mine because I'm not using
them. You know what?
Mine.
I printed with that sketchy air print.
Maybe that's it.
And that's what it was. Maybe. I don't know.
You want these?
No.
Easier
no.
To read. Headline is, bear in Virginia locks itself in a car, honks horn to wake up homeowners, police say.
I want
to
see that video.
You know what?
I really want to see the bear.
This is the type.
Lean back, honking the horn.
This is the, unless he, there's no, the bear got into this car and locked itself in. I believe that. Honk the horn, I believe that, but it was completely coincidental that the horn ever honked. He was not trying to awaken homeowners. So, Virginia homeowners.
No, he just probably liked the sound of it. He was like, oh, that makes a noise.
Yeah, or even that, or his butt just, when he was looking in the back seat, pushed it, and it went off. But let's say, are you ready for some journalistic humor? Because the first line is, Virginia homeowners get a very big surprise last week when they woke up to a car honk and discovered a 200-pound cub.
Oh, so they took time to weigh him.
Yeah, they've got a scale out. This is from the police.
From their Facebook page.
This is from the police Facebook page. Our officers never know what they may encounter when on the job! Exclamation point.
Exclamation.
I can't say ventriloquist either. Officer Thayer responded to a call at 5 a.m. this morning that involved a 200-pound black bear that managed to open the door of a vehicle, lock himself inside, and honk the horn, rousing the homeowners. The baby bear found some treats inside.
Oh, it's a little bitty one.
200-pound baby.
It's like Paddington.
And caused minor damage to the vehicle. The officer was able to open the back door, and the little guy eventually found his way out.
Aww.
And ran off into
the
woods.
You know the dangerous part of that?
Yeah.
Is opening the door up and hoping mom's not watching.
She's going to be around somewhere,
yeah,
I guarantee
that's,
you.
That's what happens.
Good crime prevention tip from Officer Thayer. Always lock your car doors. It's not just thieves that can break into your cars. Ha, 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 he said. Officers at Roanoke County found the black bear.
He didn't say that.
No,
you know he did.
No, you know
he
said
that.
He said that.
You're editorializing. He didn't say that.
Officers in Roanoke County found the black bear inside the vehicle about 5 a.m. last Thursday, according to the police department. The homeowners believe the bear opened the car door, to eat the treats that were inside, and it honked the car horn when it realized it was trapped. Bears don't know what car horns are.
What they actually didn't notice was all the wires yanked out from under the dash. Yeah. He was so close to getting that thing started.
So anyway, let's move on.
Man, this is a big story this week.
Yeah, and we don't normally carry big stories, but this one's worth it.
It's a lot of chatter about it.
It's chatter.
It's not. It's the same size story. It's still on the same size paper.
There's chatter.
What?
Chatter.
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 Chatter. Chatter. You gonna read the story or what?
I don't know. I'm still trying to process what you're talking about. Okay, this next story. There's a lot of chatter on the web about this week. This is kind of a big story.
Yeah, normally we don't, you know, the popular stories don't make the cut.
And I'm not really sure which one of them is crazier in this story, but here we go.
Go ahead.
A man is suing his date for texting during Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Well, she should know better.
We can stop right there. Yeah. I'm going to say, before we get to the rest of the story, as a listener, I love you. Right? I'm glad you listened to us.
Thank you.
If you are a person that opens up your phone in the middle of a movie theater with a bright, shiny screen lit up like a flashlight.
Yes.
You're a jerk.
That's bad. That's bad.
And I don't want to lose you as a listener, but this is tough love.
People pay tickets to go in and
this
enjoy this
movie. This is tough love. You may not know.
Our listener doesn't do that, I assure you.
I would hope not.
No way.
But I'm just telling you, if you do this, you're kind of a jerk, and you need to stop. And
our listener doesn't do it.
That comes from a place of love. Now, I'm trying to have some tough love here.
I'm telling you, our listener doesn't. He's not.
Good.
They are not one of these people. Yeah.
Oh, now you're getting into pronouns. That's how it's going to work now.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So.
Yes.
A 37-year-old man from Austin, Texas is suing a woman for texting during the screening of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It was an early viewing of the movie.
They're lucky to be there.
And not just some random stranger either. She was his date in what he describes as a first date from hell.
Uh-huh.
Hey, yo. I said, hey, yo.
Well, it's okay. We're down south.
The woman allegedly refused to put her phone away and continued to text until he finally suggested she take the conversation outside.
She did
just that, taking her phone out of the theater, through the lobby, out to the parking lot where she drove off and left him.
This date is not going good at all.
Well, she was a jerk.
They should get married.
As we've already mentioned.
Because it can't get any worse than this in a relationship.
It probably could. According to the Austin American Statesman, I don't know who he was and why he was at the actual screening, Brandon Vesmar has filed a lawsuit against the woman in small claims court seeking $17.31, the
Brand
price
Flake.
Of admission.
Brand Flake wants his money back.
Yeah, he does. That's the price of the admission to the 3D screening. Okay, so this wasn't. A screening. If you're paying, this is an
that's
actual,
right.
This is actually a viewing. I don't know who's using the words inappropriately here, but anyway.
And that's about the right price for a 3D ticket.
Well, not where I go.
As long as it's not, what do you call it? The IMAX.
Yeah, I don't go to IMAX. Too expensive.
I love IMAX. That's the only way I see a movie.
Good. Hope you guys are happy together. Vesmar alleges that the woman activated her phone at least 10 to 20 times in 15 minutes to read and send text messages. His petition claims that This direct violation of the theater's policy adversely affected his viewing experience. While damages sought are modest, the principle is important as the defendant's behavior is a threat to civilized society.
Yes.
Civilized society will fall. It will decline and fail.
It'll crash like a rocket ship that's run out of fuel.
Right.
From Mars.
Then rolls off a cliff, crashes
and explodes
again.
Yes, and then crashes.
And crashes some more.
Yeah.
And then there's a nuclear reactor in it.
Yes.
Somehow.
It's terrible.
It dies.
That's what's going to happen.
That's all going to happen. When reached for comment, the woman who asked to remain anonymous said, "Oh my gosh, this is crazy."
Bless her heart.
That's all she had to say. She was completely unaware.
She said, "Hang on a minute. I'm answering a text."
Yeah, hold on. I'm texting somebody. She was completely unaware. They talked to her from another movie theater. She was completely unaware of the claim filed against her and maintains that she only texted two or three times. Like everyone who has ever texted in a theater and annoyed the people around them, the woman said, "I had my phone low and wasn't bothering anyone."
Sure.
Bull crap, not true.
Absolutely. Even if your phone's on low.
The first step is turn the brightness all the way down.
Yeah.
No, the first step is don't do it.
Don't do it. Go to the lobby.
The first step is you lived how many years without a phone?
And theaters have lobbies.
Yes, they do.
Use it.
Yeah.
Dang it.
They have bathrooms.
For Pete's sake, yes.
For the sake of Pete.
Pete's sake, man.
She says she'll be filing a protective order against Vesmar.
I don't think that's necessary.
Contacted both the women both a woman, rather, and her sister, asking to be reimbursed for the cost of the movie ticket. The woman refused to pay him back because she said, he took me on a date.
Sure.
I'm not a bad woman. The woman told the Statesman, I just went out on a date. No, you actually are a bad woman. You're a bad
woman. That's a great line.
But, okay, I've been in the movie theater before, and it drives me nuts. I literally almost threw a Coke. I wanted to.
Yeah.
But the...
You can throw milk duds. But not
why would I waste a perfectly good milk dud on somebody?
Sometimes it's fun.
So one time I was in the theater and this woman, and she kept, not only was she turning it on, she's in the kids movie, right?
Yes.
With her kids. Instead of enjoying the time with her kids, it's like some slow motion animation. Her hand keeps rising up in front of us with the light on. Like she can't look at it down low. She's got to put it up high in front of her face.
That's definitely milk duds.
So I went and got one of the kids working at the theater, and they love it. They love to go in there and jump
on somebody. Oh, yeah, sure.
So they took care of it. And then another time this chick was going through photos. Why are you in a movie theater?
That's insanity.
These are the same people that think that at nighttime when the shades are open, if the lights are on, nobody can see them. But you can see straight in.
Yeah, but the thing is,
they don't get the idea that, what I mean by that is they don't get the idea of how light works. It's in front of your face, shooting, illuminating everything behind you. You're not the only one seeing.
Like a movie screen. Your shades are now a movie screen, more or less.
It's like a giant firefly in the room. It just lights up the whole room.
Let me say this. Had we had smartphones when our kids were seeing all the kiddie movies, I may have done the same thing. Because some of them flat out boring.
But that's not the point.
Oh, yeah?
The point is at the top of your head. But also, the point is that
you never saw.
Put it this way.
Yeah.
Do you ever bring a flashlight? Not your phone. Do you ever bring a flashlight with you in a movie theater and just start shining it around?
I don't take a flashlight anywhere unless I'm hiking.
They're right. And you shouldn't bring your phone into the theater and start opening it up and start looking at stuff.
You obviously did not sit through the 1980s version of Black Beauty because, dang.
Or Dune.
Was that a kid's movie?
No, I'm just talking about movies that put me to sleep.
Oh.
The first Star Trek movie.
Star
the first Trek. Star Trek movie that was horrible.
Interesting fact about me, I've never seen a Star Trek.
Only watched the even movies.
Never seen a show.
I've seen a few of the shows. I wasn't a big fan.
Another fact, I've never seen an episode of Friends.
Really?
Ever. Yeah, never.
They're not going to be there for you.
DUI driver.
You wouldn't get that because you never watch it.
Headline is, DUI driver had bearded dragon lizard stuffed in her bra, police say. Okay. This comes to us from Massachusetts. A woman who was carrying a bearded dragon lizard in her bra was arrested Monday afternoon after driving drunk and crashing through multiple mailboxes on Staple Street in Taunton, Massachusetts, police said. The Taunton Gazette reported that Amy Raballo McCarthy, I wonder if she's Ken, 39, of Newton, was arrested on charges of
operating... Ken to who?
Paul McCartney. The only other McCartney.
Her name's McCarthy.
Oh, you see, I couldn't tell that. My printer's messed up.
Dimwit.
Was arrested on charges of operating under the influence, driving to endanger, and...
I was going to say she's related to Paul Raballo McCarthy.
Paul and marked lane violation, police said on their Facebook page. Police said the 1999 Mercedes that Raballo McCarthy had been operating struck six mailboxes, some of which flew through the air and smashed the rear window of a parked car, and crashed into a lawn on Monday about 1:20 p.m.
Sounds like my day yesterday.
The Mercedes, it does, actually. The Mercedes had four flat tires. The airbags were deployed. Both bumpers were ripped off. That's some serious damage. I'm saying that BMW may just be totaled. Police told the police the woman who had been driving the car was out and her male friend had gone into the driver's side to attempt to drive the vehicle back onto the road. The police arrived at the scene. Raballo McCarthy was laughing.
McCarthy.
I keep wanting to say McCartney. Was laughing. So this girl has just wrecked her probably father's Mercedes. No, it's her. She's 40 almost. She's a lot younger than you still, but was laughing and asked the officers in slurred words to call her a tow truck so they could be on their way. Police said that her blood alcohol level was just shy of double the legal driving limit. Before being transported to the police station, Raballo McCarthy told police that she was in a possession of a bearded dragon.
Finally, we get to the bearded dragon part.
While driving, she held in her bra. What is wrong with this woman? That's some issues.
That's spiky.
She needs to talk to Dr. Brooks. At the rear of the vehicle, smoking a cigarette, was 22-year-old Waltham, who was also slurring his words and couldn't remember his name. He could remember his name. He just didn't want to tell the police. When police asked the man not to smoke, particularly...
He said the bearded dragon doesn't talk.
In light of the fact that gasoline was leaking from the vehicle. In the man's waistband, police saw what looked like the butt of a semi-automatic weapon, which was later identified as an airsoft replica.
Wait. Was it an airsoft, a replica of an airsoft gun, or a replica of a semi-automatic weapon? They don't specify.
This couple was up to no good. They had a fake gun that looked real enough to fool the police. She had a bearded dragon.
She
had a bearded dragon. I saw it in the newspaper.
What if the dragon had explosives in him?
That would be bad. They were up to no good, I'll tell you. Yep.
Oh, I saw this story, too, this week.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You ever had ghost pepper?
Don't plan to.
I've had ghost pepper sauce. It's potent.
I don't like food that makes me feel bad. Like, I like a little bit of spice. I like the sriracha.
Yeah, sriracha's good.
It's got a good flavor.
Yeah.
But I don't really like the hot chicken and stuff. I don't want to go and get challenged to eat something or drink something that's so hot I'm miserable. Why would I do that?
Because you're a wimp.
Aside from that, those two things aren't mutually exclusive.
We've talked about this before, but I hold the record at Orchid Thai Restaurant in Nashville for eating the hottest plate ever. I didn't eat the plate.
But you can't enjoy it.
I didn't. I just wanted to win the record. Normally, I don't really like it, but...
You were shooting fire for a week.
Whew, you ain't kidding. Burn twice. Burn twice, they say.
Ghost pepper leads to torn esophagus.
I want to say it. Esophagus.
Esophagus. A word to the wise, stay away from ghost peppers.
No.
I've already said that. Yeah. A puree made from these peppers, which are infamous for their off-the-charts level of spiciness, led to a rare life-threatening condition in an otherwise healthy 47-year-old man in California.
That's young.
According to a recent report of the man's case. In the man's case, a ghost pepper had been pureed and served atop a hamburger as part of an eating contest at a local restaurant.
Oh, man.
After finishing the pepper-topped burger, the man drank 6 large glasses of water, then began violently retching and vomiting.
Yes.
According to the report, which was published online in September in the Journal of Emergency Medicine, the man ended up going to the emergency room in San Francisco because he couldn't stop vomiting and developed severe chest and stomach pain.
That's a mean pepper, dude. That is... You don't puree a ghost pepper.
Well, you don't eat a ghost pepper. A CT scan of the man's chest appeared to show that his esophagus was torn.
Ugh.
And that his left lung had collapsed, so the man was sent to emergency surgery. During the operation, the surgeons found a 2.5-centimeter tear in the man's esophagus.
That's an inch long, man.
The tear... What?
That's an inch long.
Yeah, I know.
2.5 centimeters.
Well, right. And it says so right there. You cheated. The tear was leaking food,
mix
of hamburger, onions, and other green vomitous material into the space around the man's left lung, which had collapsed, according to the report. The surgeons repaired the man's esophagus and reinflated his lung. We're thinking too much alike. Then placed him on a feeding tube so the esophagus could heal. The man's condition, a spontaneous esophageal rupture, which is also called Borhave syndrome.
Borhave. You better Borhave over there.
Don't they make ham? Borhave ham? Is a relatively rare phenomenon, said lead study author Dr. Ann Ahrens.
It's very rare. It only happens every time somebody consumes a pureed ghost pepper.
She was a physician in the Department of Emergency Medicine at the University of California, San Francisco at the time of the man's case in the summer of 2015. Spontaneous esophageal rupture is caused by violent vomiting and retching. So basically, it made him vomit. The tear was because it was so violent.
That's right.
In other words, the man's reaction to the ghost pepper rather than the pepper itself caused the rupture. Ghost peppers are among the hottest chili peppers in the world, the report said. They have a measured heat of more than 1 million Scoville heat units, according to the report. For comparison, a poblano pepper measures at 2,000 Scoville units, and jalapenos come in at 5,000.
That's nothing.
Yes, that's a walk in the park.
Yeah.
Eating a single seed from a ghost pepper can cause severe burning in the mouth and last up to 30 minutes.
You know, when James, my son, was, 13 and 14, he discovered hot sauce and the fun that came with seeing who could consume the hottest.
Well, you know, your brain releases endorphins.
Yes.
So there's
a pepper high.
Yes, you have a high. There was a guy that I knew once who apparently, I didn't see this, he carried a little bottle with him everywhere he went. And after every bite of food, he'd put some
hot sauce.
Super hot sauce, like whatever was the flavor he had that day. And it's a legal drug rush, basically. It's endorphins. It's the same way, same kind of things that happen when you buy something brand new. It makes you feel good, makes you excited.
Yeah.
It's the brain endorphins.
Yeah.
And so this is another way of getting that rush.
But also, it's fun to me. And James,
well, that's why it's fun.
We discovered the Pepper Palace. You ever been to the Pepper Palace?
No. There's a place in East Tennessee in Gatlinburg that's got all these different peppers.
That's Pepper Palace.
Is that it?
Yeah, we have one. Yeah, and we have a local one now too.
We do.
Yes, we do.
Oh yeah, Shoppery Mills or somewhere's got one.
Exactly. Yeah. And we would buy all these super hot sauces, and he'd bring his friends over, and
it's fun. I can see where it's fun.
It really is kind of fun. Not as fun as this, though.
We should do that. We should do a video thing. We'll bring some in.
No, I don't like it anymore. I'm over that phase.
Sissy.
Yeah. Stalker threw dog poo into garden of Dundee man who had an affair with his wife.
Well, okay.
That's fair enough.
I'm not going to say
he's
didn't have
lucky. It. Well, let's read the story.
No, why don't you read the story?
A scorned husband stalked another man who had an affair with his wife 23 years ago. Brian Miller, 54, reportedly followed Grant Macy and threw dog waste into his garden after Macy moved across the road from Miller's
fertilizer.
Exactly. Dundee Sheriff Court heard Mr. Macy left Dundee and moved to Perth after the affair with Miller's wife ended in 1993.
It's funny this is Australia.
Is it really? Yep. I didn't even notice that.
Well, Dundee was the first giveaway, and then he said Perth.
Yeah, that's right. We'll pick back up here in just a second, but anytime we have Australia.
I think you can continue.
Okay, so let me get everybody caught up. Guy had an affair.
With Crocodile Dundee.
The husband of the wife who had the affair is still mad 23 years later, which I would be too, to be honest with you. Fiscal deputy Jennifer Johnson said that on October 8th last year, Miller followed Mr. Massey and Miss McIntyre, his new girlfriend, on a bicycle and passed them while staring and glaring at them, adding, the couple got...
It wasn't the staring. It was the glaring.
That's what gets you every time.
Every single time.
The couple got into their car and Miller cycled behind them, almost in a chasing manner. A couple of weeks later, Miller knocked on the couple's door and handed a letter to Miss McIntyre containing information about the earlier affair. Then, on November 9th, he circled a white Ford Fiesta outside their house, stopped and looked in before getting together and repeating these actions, and then driving off. On Christmas Eve, Miller posted a Christmas card through their door addressed to Mr. Massey, which contained an unsavory message and swearing. The fiscal continued on January 4th.
Wait, it contained an unsavory message and swearing. Wouldn't that just be the unsavory?
That's unsavory.
That would just be unsavory.
Yeah, on January 4th, Mr. Massey saw Mr. Miller reportedly drive past his home address.
He saw him repeatedly.
Repeatedly. He was alarmed by all the incidents, so he called CCTV outside his home. You know, CCTV is
a
great channel.
He said he called them?
He installed them. It's a great channel. On February, Mr. Massey left his home, and when he began driving, he saw Miller following him in a red car. I wonder what happened to the white Fiesta.
Not really. Well, it was a Fiesta. Probably didn't. It was disposable.
It was one day, too. On another day, Miller was seen on CCTV throwing a bag of dog waste into his garden. That is just fertilizer, as you said.
Yep,
Mr. Massey reported the matters to police on March 14th. Solicitor Larry Flynn defending said the affair took place. Oh, this is Australia. The affair took place between 1992 and 1993. It clearly had a significant impact on him, as it would. Nothing had happened between him and Mr. Massey since the affair ended. But
that's not dog poop.
But learning about Mr. Massey's return clearly triggered something inside of him.
Yeah, inside of something.
Miller admittedly engaged in a course of conduct which caused fear and alarm to Grant Massey between October 8th last year and March 14th this year. So this guy, he should never have moved across the street from this guy's parents. I'm saying that's a foul.
This next story.
Yeah?
Has got weird written all over it.
It's perfect for us.
When I say weird, I mean the show weird written all over
our program, our podcast, so to speak.
Our lifeblood. Our, well, we got nothing.
Yeah, that's it. That covers it.
Okay, this is a horrible story, but yet an awesome story.
It's bad.
It's a bad story.
Yeah, it's bad.
And I make no fun of what happened.
Not making light.
But as a story on paper,
right?
You just can't make this stuff up.
Cannot.
Mom paralyzed after eating gas station nacho cheese.
First mistake. Yeah.
I've had my share of it.
I haven't.
You know, it's really hard to find that anymore.
I've never had any.
And there is a, we're going to get into this in a minute probably, it didn't used to be this way. but very strict rules about temps and stuff on that cheese.
Just like in a restaurant, I would suppose.
But back when I worked at the convenience store.
I wish you'd stop saying we worked in all these places.
But yeah, I said that already to you. But the thing is, back then, is there a pot in the cheese machine? Yes. Is the cheese liquidy? Yes. Is it warm? Yes. Okay, good. We're good.
Serve it.
We never had a thermometer. What? Is it sick?
Does it have a fever?
Yeah. Anyway, Lavinia Kelly went from being a busy, happy mother of three to a partially paralyzed hospital patient after putting nacho cheese on her Doritos.
Oh, gross.
At a gas station.
That's even...
Why she put them on her Doritos?
Man, I don't know.
Kind of delicious, actually.
That sounds terrible to me.
The Sacramento resident who turned 33 on Wednesday is one of at least five confirmed cases of botulism involving people... who had eaten at Valley Oak Food and Fuel in Walnut Grove, with another four probable or suspected cases, the Sacramento Bee reports. So botulism, you can't put it on your nachos, but you can shoot it into your lips,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right.
Is that how that works?
It is. Don't eat at Valley Food
and,
Fuel. Anything that ends in and fuel, don't eat there.
Well, and
except your favorite place.
I like Speedway.
Yeah,
it doesn't end in fuel.
No, it doesn't. It ends in
and
way.
They've got good food.
Yeah, I call it REO Speedway. And I stopped
by. No, I'm sorry. That's what my son called it, and he gave it to you as a name, and now you're stealing it.
That's
as your
why
own.
I say I called it.
Whatever. You stopped by there and did what?
I stopped by there. You know, I haven't eaten there yet, but the food looks good.
Food is good there. And
I know
not,
you're fond of it.
They got great breakfast. But anyway, are they paying for this podcast?
No.
No.
Not yet.
Hey, anyway, so I'm hoping we get to the end of the story, and this was a temporary,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Temporary paralysis.
Well, let's find out.
All nine are still being treated in area hospitals. According to a lawsuit filed this week, Kelly, who became ill within hours of eating the cheese on April 21st, remains in the hospital in intensive care, unable to speak or even open her eyes on her own.
Good grief.
So they can control, again, they can control it if you shoot it into your mouth.
Or your forehead.
But they can't cure you from it if you eat some cheese?
I guess not. It doesn't go into your digestive tract that way. It
goes in your bloodstream.
Whatever. I'm not a doctor.
I just played one on TV.
Me
neither. I just pretend to know something about it. Relatives say Kelly's symptoms started with fatigue. Oh, I got that all the time.
Me too.
And progressed to double vision. I got that too.
I don't.
Vomiting and difficulty breathing.
Only double vision I got is a Foreigner album.
Yep. We just don't understand why this happened over a bag of chips and nacho cheese.
That's nacho cheese.
You know what's going to happen? And nacho cheese. You know what's going to happen next?
What?
She's going to get better. Then the store's going to sue her, saying that you weren't supposed to put that cheese on your nachos.
That's right, on your
Doritos.
Those
were set aside for the chips.
How do they know the botulism wasn't in the Doritos?
I don't know if that's possible.
Well,
I don't know.
Saying.
Well, anyway, how can you make all these nasty cheeses that people love and those don't kill you, but you have a little bit of fake? Oh, it's fake cheese.
Fake cheese.
That's why. Really? That's not me. That's what this says.
It says that.
Really? Really? How does this happen? Bruce Clark, an attorney specializing in food safety cases, is handling the family's negligence lawsuit. He says only human mistakes create the environment for botulism toxin to form, and those mistakes are thankfully rare. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's most recent botulism report, only 15 of the 161 U.S. botulism cases in 2014, this is 2014,
yeah,
were foodborne. But this is 2014, but this story just happened.
Yeah, it did, but they were referring to a report.
So they never say whether or not she either turned into a block of cheese.
I think she's still paralyzed.
Or she paralyzed.
I think it's permanent.
I hope it's not permanent. That's a horrible story. But there's just so much good in that story when it
it's juicy.
It's a juicy, cheesy story.
Yes, it is. That's what it is. Hey, if I were to say to you, I will give you a castle in Italy, would you take it? I mean, for free? Just free. If I'm just going to give you a castle.
What's the catch?
Well, there is one small catch.
What's the catch?
The headline is, Italy is giving away...
Italy.
I said Italy.
Italy.
Italy is giving away over 100 castles for free.
I saw this somewhere.
And there's one catch, as we said. Italy is giving away more than 100 historic castles, farmhouses, and monasteries for free in an effort to breathe new life into its disused public buildings. Under a new scheme unveiled by the country's government-run state property agency, 103 ancient buildings will be up for grabs to entrepreneurs who promise to transform the locations into tourist destinations.
That's not a bad deal.
That's not a bad deal.
Because here's the deal. At the end of it all,
yeah,
you own a flipping castle.
That's right. That's your castle. And, you know, castles are pretty big, and they're sturdy. You could live in half of it.
If a man's house is his castle, what's his castle?
It's his house. It only makes sense.
Yes.
The disused properties are situated along...
That's the argument in court. I'm sorry. You gave me the castle to make it a tourist stop, right?
Right.
But if my house is my castle, That makes my castle my house.
It's common sense.
Null and void.
Common sense.
This is my house now.
Yeah. The disused properties are situated along 8 historic routes running the breadth of the country and the nearby islands of Sicily and Sardinia. It is hoped that the initiative will create a series of new facilities for the hundreds of hikers, cyclists, and pilgrims who use those routes each year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know the pilgrims hung out over there. Must be those fancy hats they wear. You know what that means?
What does it mean?
Local story.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
You got too excited just
now. I love it.
Grown-ups brawl at high school graduation here in old Tennessee. Got to hear it again. Graduation caps weren't the only thing flying at one high school commencement in Tennessee.
I heard that.
After some adults in the audience started throwing punches.
Say what you want to about Tennessee. We could throw some graduations, man.
And pork chops.
Yeah, that wasn't here.
Videos posted to social media show a fight between adults breaking out as Arlington High School graduates marched into a Memphis church to the tune of Pomp and Circumstance Tuesday. The Memphis Commercial Appeal reports the melee may have been brought on
by
a dispute over saving seats.
Melee. Now, saving seats, can start some fights, especially at a graduation.
You have to understand at a graduation, there are families grouped together.
There are families grouped together, and some of them save seats for people who never show up, and that makes people angry.
Arlington Community Schools superintendent says in a statement, "It was unfortunate that a couple of adults in the audience exhibited the behavior they did prior to the ceremony."
What is wrong with people?
"Beginning and thus caused a distraction from the celebration of our students' accomplishments."
Grow up. What is wrong with people?
A video shows one woman being handcuffed, but it's unclear if anyone was arrested while she was handcuffed.
I hope she was.
No, they just handcuff people randomly.
Yes.
Me next, officer.
I'll take it. Okay, Craig,
yes. We
love funny stories. That's all we try to bring. This headline is, "Man sues Planet Hollywood for assault after being frightened by a mannequin in his room."
Ah!
Man claims he was seriously injured after attempting to escape his darkened Planet Hollywood hotel room.
Is Planet Hollywood still a thing?
I think it is. Yeah, they have a big
hotel.
Shut
down here in Nashville.
Was it really? Oh, it was. That's right.
Yeah, downtown.
They had a lot of mannequins in there, too. I saw it. The mannequin was inside a glass case and displayed a racing suit, but according to a lawsuit filed on Monday, Kent Botchwell believed that it was a person who intended to do him harm.
Very slow-moving person.
That guy's slow.
He was voguing.
The presence of a life-size human figure in a darkened room was dangerous and or hazardous.
Wait, so he's never been in the room before, I guess?
I guess it was his first time in. The filed lawsuit claims that Planet Hollywood was negligent by failing to place signs, caution, warn, or otherwise make safe the hazardous condition caused by the mannequin's presence.
People will try to sue for anything.
They will sue for anything.
This is how this should have gone down, okay?
Okay, tell me.
Door open.
And then, it's just
sure
a mannequin.
That was a mannequin.
Along with other claims of negligence, the lawsuit says that Planet Hollywood committed assault on Baltimore. What did they do? Come up and beat him up for being scared?
I don't know.
So this situation reportedly resulted in serious injuries, some of which the lawsuit claim are permanent and disabling.
Wow. In Florida, I went berserk. Florida man tries to kiss rattlesnake, gets bitten.
Well, that's what happens when you try to kiss a rattlesnake.
Pretty much the whole story. A Florida man who tried to kiss a rattlesnake only for it to snub his advances and bite him is recovering in a hospital.
Yeah.
The snake was found by Charles Goff, a resident of Putnam County in the northeast of the state. He found that on Monday. A day later, a neighbor named by a local CBS channel as Ron Reinhold. Shouldn't that guy's parents named him?
They should have. I don't know why they chose to let him be named by a local CBS channel.
I don't get that. But he started playing with the snake and made his ill-judged move.
Idiot.
Mr. Reinhold was airlifted to hospital.
Yeah.
This must have been written by some other country.
Yeah.
To hospital. and is now recovering. One boy said, "I'm going to kiss it in the mouth." And the snake bit him in the face.
What an idiot.
Mr. Goff told... I thought Mr. Goff was the guy that got... No, Ron Reinhold, the guy that was named by the CBS channel.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, Ron was just acting silly, you know. I guess he just said he could kiss the devil and get away with it, but evidently he didn't.
Nope. You can't kiss the devil and get away with it.
No. You can't dance with him in the pale moonlight
no,
either.
No, you cannot.
First Coast News said the victim was conscious but had initially been in critical condition. The snake is believed to have escaped after its ordeal. It's still not clear why Mr. Reinhold tried to kiss the rattlesnake. Can we have this from the snake's point of view? This guy puts his slobbery mouth up against him. The snake's like, "I'll have none of that."
Good night. All right, Craig, kissing rattlesnakes, not a good idea at all. I wouldn't do it, but that's going to bring us to the end of our episode 81.
Yeah, that was a quick one.
Chaz Flaccus didn't pay his bill, or Flaccus did not pay his bill, so there's no top 10 list.
Speedway
this week.
Still hasn't sponsored us.
No, they haven't. Dairy Queen, where are you?
You know, if you are one of our listeners out there,
yeah,
and you've got a company and you want us to sponsor,
oh, we got
you
listeners.
Want to sponsor us rather,
we got listeners.
See how bad we are at it? We think we should sponsor you. But listen, you let us know. We might have a talk.
And thank you for listening to start with.
Hey, yeah. And remember, go out there and review the podcast and tell your friends.
And find us on social.